God for the word that was read to us today. If you look at the passage or the theme that I've taken today, I true religion. By the way, when I was, I was looking for a graphic for my theme. Then when I typed the word true religion in Google, I realized it's always the genes was always coming. So I called up my daughter, my second one, and I asked her, what is true religion? She said, you do not know. It's the genes. Oh, I said, I didn't know. I said, probably I would have seen the store, right? But I really, no, by the way, no, I'm not promoting true religion here, right? I know it's an expensive jeans. But I want to talk about the brand Jesus, right? The brand Jesus, which is an important person in our lives, and we need everyone. Every one of us need the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. I think for the past few weeks, we have been looking about the importance of reaching out to people, right? To sharing the gospel of salvation to people. Even last week, we were looking from Luke chapter 19, the story of Zacchaeus, where we see the love of God is reaching us. I think we will, when we look at the entire passage of Zacchaeus, that God's love is so wonderful that He's reaching each and every one of us, wherever we are, where we are in our lives. We might be in different moments in our life, and God's love is reaching us so powerfully, so miraculously. That's the way we were looking at God's word, and the love of God changes everything in our lives. I think that's the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, right? He changes our life altogether. Like today, I thought we would look at the word true religion, because there is, when you say religion, sometimes, people are afraid of the word, because it has a different kind of connotations to many people. Sometimes people are afraid. Sometimes people do not want to associate with this word religion, because at times it is seen outdated. But we want to see Christianity is so wonderful, and all of us are called to share, because the faith that we embrace, it's not just another religion, my friend. It's not another ism. When I was a young boy, 16 years old, I have gone to many isms back in Singapore, because in Singapore, in Asia, you see a lot of ism and practices. I've gone, I've seen, I know how to pray in different in religious settings. But I realize it's only the transforming love of the Lord Jesus Christ is able to change us. I think it's important for us to know before we start sharing God's word, that the faith that we embrace, it's not another faith. It's not another route, because someone is believing that faith and I'm just embracing Christianity. It's not another, alternate thing, my friend. It's the real one. It's the real brand. It's genuine and it's worth sharing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given to us. We pray that as we spend some time looking at your word, we ask for your guidance, O God. We pray that we will invite your spirit, Lord, and we will be sensitive to the prompting of the spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the year, in the 19th century, a Danish theologian by the name of Kierkegaard said, there are two kinds of religion, right? And he said, religion A is just faith alone. In other words, it's attending church without genuine faith. It's just warming the seat, the pew. And Kierkegaard said, that's religion A. It's just a brand. That's all. I'm a Christian. That's wonderful, right? I've embraced Christianity, but it doesn't make any difference in the life. And Kierkegaard also said, there is another religion B, right? And he said, religion B is a life-transforming, destiny-changing, and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, religion B is the perfect religion because it changes my life. Let me tell you, my friend, if Christianity does not change you, if Christianity does not change your destination, do not embrace Christianity, because let me tell you, true Christianity changes my life. True Christianity brings meaning to my life, my friend, provided we embrace the real Jesus Christ, not just attending, not just, saying ourselves Christians, but when we engage ourselves When we have a personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, not only the love of God reaches us, but we will see our lives totally transformed, right? Transformed into the image of Christ. And so Christianity is it's not just a religion, it's a lifestyle, it's a relationship, and that's what we are going to look at today's passage. It's worth sharing because Christian faith is an evangelical faith. It's a faith that each and every one of us are called to share. The passage that was just read to us today is found in Luke chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. It's two incidents that takes place on a Sabbath day, right? And so we will look at this and how and some of the things that we will learn about Christian faith and how God can actually help us. Because many times when we look at the Bible, you know, sometimes we can see it differently. To some people, it's five ways of becoming good, right? Two ways of having a successful life and all that. But I think it is different. It's different. I think the passage will that we will look at it today will speak to us about how different, how true Christianity is. Firstly, when I look at the passage, last week we were looking at it not in a very topical way, and I thought today also briefly I'll just look at it because towards the end of the service we have some things will be shared by the missions team, and so we want to give some time to them. And so the first thing when you look at it, true religion meets human needs, right? Each of us have needs, and each of us have different things in our life that's happening, and we want God to help us. Look at the passage very carefully, right? What's happening here? On Sabbath day, on particular Sabbath, because Sabbath is a very religious observance day. It's a day that Jews are very careful about observing it because they're not supposed to work. Right? A lifting of something heavy, it's considered, when you exert your energy, it's considered labor. I remember when my wife and I, we were in Israel for a study trip. On the Sabbath, it was very interesting when you go to take the elevator, right? And you realize you need not press, because even pressing the button of the elevator is seen as exerting an energy, and it's considered labor, and according to Mosaic law, right, it's wrong. Everything runs automatic, right? You go to the elevator, it opens the door for you, and it stops every floor, which is very annoying, right? But it stops every floor for you, and but unfortunately, the food is cold because they don't cook on that day. Whatever it's there, yesterday's food is today's food. So that's the unfortunate part. Other than that, it's almost like automatic, everything runs. And so Sabbath is considered something very important to the Jews. And so on that particular day, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels, which is considered reaping, which is considered labor. And you're not supposed to, right? And some of the Pharisees asked, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Can you imagine? They were tailgating Jesus and his company, right? When Jesus was walking, these Pharisees were just always after them because they wanted to find some kind of fault, right? What this man, this teacher is trying to do with his disciples. And when just looking at everything, observing everything, and they realized and they said, what are you doing? What is unlawful on Sabbath? Because on Sabbath, you're not supposed to exert any energy. You're not supposed to work. The Mosaic law doesn't permit you to work. And you're not supposed to do that. Right? And that's how they saw the religious faith, or in other words, the faith that they were embracing. To a certain extent, it's true. Right? What they said is to a certain extent is true, because if you look at Deuteronomy 23:25, right? It's interesting. Deuteronomy 23:25, you realize they had a wonderful welfare system, right? The grain, the fields of the grain, the side ones, right? When you walk through the fields, the side ones are not harvested because it is just left like that, so that people who are in need, the poor, the needy, will just walk and they can grab some grains and they can start eating. right? And but they are not supposed to have a chisel to cut it. You know, they can just pluck and eat and just go on, because it's for the poor, the needy, those who are really hungry. That's fine, right? But the problem is they did it on Sabbath. It's no harm, right? Taking, plugging the grains, eating, which is fine. But doing it on the Sabbath was an issue, because there were almost more than 30 prohibition laws that the Pharisees actually have written, which is outside the Torah, to say these are the things that you're not supposed to do. And so they said, you know, your disciples have violated the law. Right? They have violated. How can? It's not right. It's not, you know, you need to be punished, because this is not right. And so what Jesus is bringing here, it's very interesting. Jesus, you know, is the way he replies to them. Look at the word very carefully. Jesus answered them, right? Jesus did not challenge them, Jesus did not question them. Jesus did not just argue with them. They did not go into any kind of debate about all these things, about what to be done on Sabbath. But Jesus answered them very plainly. He said, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? So he was just referring to the scriptures, that an incident that took place in the life of David. And taking the consecrated bread, he ate what was lawful only for the priest to eat, and he gave some to the companions. Then Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, Jesus was not saying that Sabbath law is to be relaxed, right? I've relaxed it. It doesn't mean like that. This is not what Jesus is trying to say. Jesus is referring to the passage, you know, if you realize that was happening in the life of David, because David was running away, and then he comes to, they were hungry with his men, and they were hungry, and so he comes to the temple, and in the temple there is a bread called the show bread, which is always offered to God, and that bread, you know, the following Saturday morning, it has to be cleared. And only the priest is allowed to eat, or those from the priestly family are allowed to eat. Others were not allowed. It is meant for the priests who are in need. And so the showbread was always in the altar of the Lord. And so what David was trying to say here, you know, that Jesus was trying to say when David was there, you know, David was hungry, and the disciples were also hungry, right? And food was given, because he was saying that Jesus is the rightful king. At the same time, the bread presented was, you know, was just fulfilling the needs of the people there. In other words, the substance of life is more important than ceremonial properness. In other words, you know, God, it's not just about rituals. It's not about traditions. But God is a God who wants to sustain life. He wants to provide the needs of people, not only on those days, but even today. That was what Jesus was trying to say, because the Pharisees were so rigid in terms of observing the rules and regulations, they forgot the needs of the people. That the needs of the people have to be met. And Jesus is teaching us the substance of the sustenance of life is more important instead of just observing the ceremonial thing. Look at the life of Jesus Christ very carefully, right? Every time you read the word, Jesus was moved by compassion. Have you ever realized whenever you read that word, Jesus is moved by compassion, and then you will see something. Jesus is doing something. He doesn't move by compassion and walks away. You don't see that. He was moved by compassion. He fed the 5,000. He was moved by compassion and he healed the sick and the lame and the blind. If you realize, if Jesus is moved by compassion and he's not doing something, my friend, then it is sympathy, it is pity with no love in action. But here what's happening, you know, Jesus is teaching the Pharisees by saying that God is a God who provides the needs. The Sabbath is made for us, my friend. If you look at the word, the Sabbath was made for men, right? The Sabbath was to benefit us. It is to help us. and not man for the sake of the Sabbath. This Sabbath was given, right, to help us. And I think the Lord not only meets our physical need, but I believe the Lord meets our spiritual needs too. Right? And that's what Jesus is trying to say. God meets our needs. True religion meets the needs of humankind, my friend. And God meets the needs. It's not just observing another ritual or doing all these mantras and all that, but it's true religion is a religion that meets the needs of the people. In this particular context, Jesus is just meeting the needs of the people that we need in terms of food. But God is meeting every need that we have. It might be emotional, spiritual, right? A lot of issues that we might be facing, but God is a God who actually meets every need. Secondly, when you look at the word very carefully, you know, you'll realize, you know, Jesus is saying, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Can you imagine? Sometimes it looks like a paradox, right? Earlier I said this word. I said the Sabbath was made for men. So in other words, it gives you the impression, oh, the Sabbath is for men, so I can do whatever I want. It doesn't mean like that, my friend. It doesn't mean like that, right? The Sabbath was made for us because to benefit us, to help us, to give us life, to sustain our life, to help us to have a relationship with this God who loves to have a relationship with us. And it says, secondly, it says, then Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, true religion is a religion, right, that accepts the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is true religion, my friend. True Christianity, right? As I said, Kierkegaard said, right, there are Christians who have faith. They say, I'm a Christian. But there is no change in their life. They don't see Lordship of Christ in their life. They don't see the transforming, they don't allow the transforming power of Christ working in their lives. And their lives are not changed at all. But where else true religion? True Christianity, when you embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, I think he changes our life. Look at the word very carefully, right? If you look at the word, it says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. I think you know Sabbath means, right? If you look, I know if you Google the word, it means to cease from labor, right? And that is the meaning of the word Sabbath. If you look at Exodus chapter 5, verse 12 onwards and Exodus 31, right, God makes a covenant about maintaining or keeping the Sabbath. It's actually tied to the people. They were released from slavery in Egypt. And so what's happening here? God is saying, you know, Sabbath is to give attention to God, to think of what God has done in our lives, right? That he has delivered us. And it's a time for us to build our relationship with him, to have a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sabbath is a time, my friend, we renew our love, we reaffirm our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is true religion. It's not just calling ourselves Christians, right? As I said, you know, the Toronto pastor, she's a pastor of a church, right? And she doesn't embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I remember 2 years ago, I was interviewed by a TV station in Toronto, and I was told, right, during the interview that I was asked to share because I was seen more conservative in my view in certain things. And then the other pastor, and she was interviewed, I do not know her, she was very liberal in her view. In other words, it's not only Jesus Christ, right? Every faith, it's okay, it's fine, right? Because it teaches us about some things about God, so that's fine. Like every road leads to Rome. And so, but true religion accepts Jesus as Lord of our lives. If that is not so, then we need to question our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. True religion accepts Jesus as Lord, right? Jesus as the Savior of our lives, not only of this world, but of our lives. And this is what, you know, Jesus was teaching us. And so today, Do you have the true religion in you? Or are we embracing the religion type A? Just faith, just calling ourselves Christian. Do we allow Jesus to monopolize our life? If I use the words that was used towards D.L. Moody, the Spirit of God was seen monopolizing the life of D.L. Moody. Is Jesus our Lord? Is Jesus our Savior? Is He the master of our life, the shepherd of our soul, my friend, a God who's actually leading us? Thirdly, let me finish with this. Lastly, true religion fulfills God's purpose. What's God's purpose? We realize, God's purpose is always to show love, compassion, right, mercy on our lives. And on another Sabbath, if you read Luke chapter 6 onwards, I think in verse 6 onwards, another Sabbath, Jesus goes into the synagogue and was teaching. Right? I think you see a man, he was with a withered hand. And so the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse. Can you imagine? There were guys who were always after Jesus Christ, right? Trying to find some kind of fault against him because they want to capture him. They want to catch him, and right? But failing certain things. And so they were trying to do everything possible. So they watched him closely to see if he could heal on the Sabbath. They knew that this man is able to do anything, right? And so they wanted to find fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, he said, get up and stand in front of everyone. So he got up and stood there. And Jesus said to them, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? Right? And then the passage also says, he looked around at them all and then said to the man, stretch out your hand. He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to the Lord Jesus, right? And so what's happening here? True religion fulfills God's purpose, and God's purpose is always to do good, my friend. Right? God is a God who is full of compassion, as I said earlier. Every time you see the word compassion, Jesus was moved with compassion. That is something that takes place, right? And here, it's what's happening in this particular passage, right? You realize, Jesus is showing his compassion, is showing his mercy to the man who had a withered hand there. And so if you look at, this, you realize, and I was very interesting, Jesus was helping this man. And I was trying to look at this particular passage. I realized this man, hand was withered. In other words, the right hand. Luke is very particular about certain words. He uses the word right hand. You know why right hand is important? Right hand is important. Today, sometimes you don't have right hand. You can do it in the left. In the Jewish culture, the right hand is important. You know why? Because with the right hand, they will bless people, not with the left hand. Right? It's the right hand which is important for them. It is to bless. And so when someone's hand is withered or is not functioning, it is seen as a sin or a punishment from God. And that person is not able to bless. And that's the custom of the Jews. And Jesus is doing a great thing, right? Jesus is showing love, mercy, compassion towards and fulfilling what God wants to do in our lives. And he's showing that love to this particular person. According to the Pharisee, yes, you can do it, right? But not on a Sabbath. You can do, according to Sabbath law, according to the Pharisees, you can only do a miracle on a Sabbath provided the person is at the point of death. Then it is acceptable. That is the law according to the Pharisees. But this person is not dying, right? His hand is just withered. You can wait for Monday to come or another day to come. You can heal him, but not on a Sabbath, right? I think that's the way they saw the readings or the scriptures that they had, my friend. But Jesus is showing us love. I think that's what God wants us to. If you read Micah 6:8, it's a very famous a passage, right? It's a passage where you realize God is having a conversation with Israel. And so in this conversation, you know, God is telling them, oh people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, right? To love mercy and to walk humbly in the sight of God. So that's what, you know, in the Old Testament you read, that the word mercy here means hesed in the Greek, in the Hebrew text, it means loving kindness. And that is the character of God. You need to, right, love mercy, show mercy. That's a loving kindness of God, and that is the character of God. And this is what God requires of you. You know why the early church grew? You know, sometimes we say, you know, early church grew because the evangelistic methods were so wonderful. So what are the five methods they did? But you look at the real early church history, my friend, the early church grew because of their love and compassion. They were just reaching out to people because of love and compassion. And people saw the difference in the life of these believers, and they embraced Christianity. Right? Jesus speaks about it in Matthew 15:32. He says, and Jesus called his disciples and said to them, right, I feel compassionate for the people because they have remained with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I do not want them to send away. Right? And Jesus is always moved by compassion, doing good deeds, helping the poor, reaching out to people. You know, that was the desire of God, not only fulfilling my needs, my prayers, but also the needs of others. True religion is not self-centered, right? True religion is always outward looking, helps the needs and the struggles of people. James put it in a very interesting manner. James 4:17, he says, if anyone then knows the good and they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. Can you imagine? It's a very strong and a powerful word James is using here. You know that you are supposed to do this, which is good, which is pleasing in the sight of God, and you're not doing it. It is a sin. True religion fulfills God's purpose, and God's purpose is always to show compassion, love, mercy, kindness, goodness. The love of God always radiates from us, my friend. It begins to show. Today, my friend, do we have religion A, or do we embrace religion B? Like Kierkegaard, who said, right, we can just embrace the faith and say we are Christians. But let me tell you, people are not challenged by religion A, but they are challenged by religion B. People want to see Jesus in our lives, my friend. Let me finish with a story. I was reading a story, very interesting. How many of you like diamonds? Wow, I didn't know. Elder Michael put, all the men's are putting diamonds. What's happening? Am I in NCAC or some other church? I thought ladies, I was hoping for the ladies to put up, but the men's are coming. Hello? Can I try it again? How many of you like diamonds? Again, the men are putting up their hands. Okay, sorry, maybe I have to change my story again. You know, it's about a Dutch diamond collector. And he was, you know, very fond of collecting diamonds. So he wanted a rare diamond, right? Maybe like this man in our church, right? They love diamonds. But let me tell you, the resale value for diamond is not so good compared to gold. Gold's stock market is always going up. I've been by the way, I don't invest in stocks. A dealer, you know, this Dutch dealer, you know, he was a collector and he was just seeking for very rare diamond. And so what happens, you know, he went to a dealer and in New York, and that dealer's name was Winston. By the name, it's not Vincent, it's Winston. And so it's a true story. And when Winston heard that this Dutch collector was just literally seeking for a rare diamond, and Winston thought, you know, I have the rare diamond. Let me, you know, do some kind of business with him. And so somehow they got connected. The diamond collector arrived, and Winston, ushered him into the shop and then said, you know, my top salesman will take care of you, sir, right? You will never have any problem. He's good. He's not only going to buy Starbucks for you, but he's a top salesman. He knows everything about the stuff. And so the diamond collector was sitting together with this salesman, and they were starting the discussion. And the salesman knew everything about the diamond. He knew everything perfect, right? No one can actually able to challenge him. But then, after some time, the collector said, I'm not going to buy. I'm leaving. And Winston was surprised. What? It's a rare diamond. And this top salesman is dealing with him. And he says, I'm not going to buy. And so immediately, as any other salesman and any other owners will do, he went and said, you know, sir, let me help you. Let me help you, okay? I will talk to you. And so he brought him and he started talking to him. Within a few minutes, they were able to sign the agreement. And so Winston was so surprised. And he said, you know, I just wanted to ask you, my salesman knew everything about the diamond, but you were not willing to sign, right, on the dotted line to buy. But when I spoke to you, you were willing to buy. What's the difference? By the way, none of them gave discounts, right? Not because of discounts. You know, this man said, you know, your top salesman knew everything. He's perfect. His knowledge about the diamond is perfect. But it's something he's missing. He doesn't love diamond. Whereas I love diamond. And you were able to convince me, you know a bit about this diamond, but you love the diamond. And that convinced me. Today, my friend, when I looked at the story, you know, many times, I think it's something like that. We know all about Jesus. Whether do we love him? Do we love Jesus? When I love Jesus, the love of Christ changes my life, my friend. Yes, we share Jesus to others. You know why? It's difficult for people to accept, because they want to see Jesus in us, my friend. They have heard about Jesus 1,001 times. They want to see Jesus, that you love Jesus Christ, and this Jesus is real in you. This religion is true in your life. That makes the difference, my friend. Do we have religion A or religion B? Let me tell you, the world is looking for religion B, my friend. They want to, they have heard Jesus Christ so many times. They want to see Jesus in our lives. They want to see Jesus in our lives. Let's pray. The world today is not wanting to know another ism. It's not how much I know about Jesus or how well about I know about him. It's whether I love him. Because if I love something, not only I will embrace it, I will be passionate about it. I will put my heart and soul in everything. If you realize in our lives too, when we love something, right, we try everything possible to achieve it. We want it because we love it so much. And that's what the world is looking for, my friend. The world is not just looking for another Jesus. They want to see the Jesus in you.
Jesus in our lives. True religion meets human needs, my friend. Is Christ the Lord of your life? Then it's true. Is he the master of our life? Then it's true, my friend. We will always have the heart of Jesus, because Jesus was always filled with, moved by compassion, just wanting to help, wanting to reach out, wanting to show mercy, kindness, help. Father, we do not want to be the religion A people of God, who call ourselves Christians. But we want to be the religion B people of God, who have experienced Christ in our life, and we have a relationship with this Jesus Christ because we love him. We are passionate about him. We are crazy about Jesus Christ. That the love of Christ is seen us. The love of Christ moves us, oh Father. And we see the way Christ saw and live the way Jesus lived. And so, Lord, we pray. Help us, Lord, to embrace you. Help us, Lord, to help us, Lord, to have a closer walk with you, Father. Help others to see Jesus in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.